Brad Hayes, you're an expert on the American presidency, American institutions. So as we sit here today, a new poll is out, which is showing that Donald Trump is rated as the least effective popular president in the history of the United States. And they went around to people like you and me. Now, I assume that you're all paid up in the American Political Science Association, which I am not, so I didn't get to vote. However, it is an interesting perspective, and at least one wag said to me that they have no business doing that while the guy is still president. What do you think?
I actually think that's somewhat fair, that you know, we need a little bit of time to judge the totality of a presidency. One of the things, though, that was really interesting about that result was the ways in which he was judged across the political spectrum. So one of the questions was that they asked was to identify yourself as kind of, you know, liberal, moderate, conservative. Liberals ranked Trump last. Moderates ranked Trump last. Conservatives, Trump wasn't last. I think he was fourth to the bottom. Buchanan, I think, was the worst. So
Trump Buchanan gets it all the time.
He does. So Trump, is doing slightly better, but he's doing terrible even among conservative scholars, right? Which there is a recognition, I think, that there is kind of systemic mismanagement in the White House, and that this kind of sustained chaos is an indicator of a administration going badly, right? And it is early, but yet it's, I think we are long enough to see an established pattern, right? That management starts from the top, right? And Trump has not created any type of ethic for his White House. He has not built the operation around core principles. As a result, it's very difficult to manage the day-to-day because each operative is struggling to understand what the president wants at any given point in time, and it's very difficult to proceed without some certainty. Moreover, Trump has obviously shown the willingness to throw people under the bus anytime that they run afoul of the president, and it's not clear when you'd run afoul of the president. All of that results in this kind of chaos. You know, one last element there, which probably relates to the overall culture that he's created, is the amount of turnover. And the turnover is stunning. There's been about a third of turnover in kind of the upper echelon positions in the administration. And that is three times the turnover rate in the Obama administration. It's twice that of Reagan. I mean, it's unprecedented. And with that amount of turnover, there's just more instability. There's more infighting. And so, you know, constantly we see not only that there are kind of controversies percolating up, but there is no circle the wagons mentality. In fact, I mean, the infighting that you see is really unusual for a White House. And so my sense of the universe is that, you know, even when you're looking at the way in which conservative scholars are evaluating Trump, you're seeing an assessment of that chaos.
Professor Brad Hayes, I guess I want to move now to President Trump's budget proposal. Now, the president has come out with a proposal that is very different, or somewhat different, than what has been passed and agreed to in the United States Congress. What do you make of that?
I don't know. So this is one of those, I don't even know what to make of this. It's a terrible budget proposal. I mean, it's just it's kind of a disaster all
but
over the place.
But it's a propaganda proposal.
It is. Yes. I mean, because there's no way Congress is going to act. I mean, if you're a deficit hawk, I don't know if those exist in Congress anymore, but let's assume that there are a few. This adds like $1 trillion to the deficit. If you're on the left, there are huge cuts to domestic spending, including on social safety net programs. There are dubious and possibly deceitful growth projections in there. There's an assumption of 3% annualized growth over the next 3 years. All other projections are nearly a percentage point lower, and we haven't seen anything like those rates of growth in a very long time. All predicted reductions in the deficit and the debt are a function of those projections. In other words, that the economy is really unlikely to grow in that way. And so it's all a mirage in terms of deficit and debt reduction. And speaking of other things that are seem to be a mirage, you know, Trump was touting the infrastructure plan. I mean, it's very clear we need infrastructure help in the United States. And he was saying that this includes $1.5 trillion for infrastructure spending. But the reality is that the budget itself had about a $200 billion increase in federal spending for infrastructure. And the rest of it came from state and private sources, right? So which that they may not materialize at all. There's no guarantee there. And by the way, in terms of existing programs, there were almost $200 billion in cuts to existing infrastructure programs. So it seems like, it's all smoke and mirrors. I mean, I don't really get it. So all of this is to say that you're right that the budget serves a particular political agenda, but it's not clear to me who it's going to win, than perhaps the most ardent Trump supporters who are going to just support Trump anyway.
Well, but Brett Hayes, that's exactly what this guy has been doing all along. He's been saying, these are the people who helped me win. I'm going to just keep throwing red meat to them. For example, sitting here, the Congress decided, well, they were going to continue funding for NPR and PBS, actually indirectly. And Trump said, nope, take all the money away from both of them. There's a piece of red meat for their audience.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess it that the symbolism of it is what's going to matter rather than the substance, because, like I said, there's no chance. I mean, Congress just passed this 2-year budget, so that takes you through September of 2019. So there's no way they're going to act on this this proposal. And so I guess in that sense, you're liberated to throw anything against the wall that you feel might stick, symbolically stick. But, again, if you're thinking about the budget as a way of kind of identifying priorities that you want to move forward on, I mean, in other words, this is, of course, a frustration with the Trump administration. If you take governance seriously, right, the budget is the way of advancing policies. And it just seemed as if this is not a serious budget created by people that are really attempting to realize actual policies that would be manifested over the coming legislative session. So to me, that's what I find, I guess, particularly frustrating about this budget.
Brett Hayes, I only have a minute. I read in the paper the other day, here comes a wild pitch, that an archivist at Union College had found a lock of George Washington's hair. Does this make you proud as a Union College professor?
Absolutely. So Union College, of course, established in 1795 during Washington's administration. And it's really cool to think about Washington's actual DNA being a part of the college.
What can they do with it?
Put it on display, talk about it, and rediscover our own history, talk about our connections to the past and the ways that it has resonance for the present and for the future. I mean, I think these are really nice moments for us to talk about our connection to the establishment of this country, to some of the founders. Union is a very vibrant academic institution, and we need to not just think about the present and the future, but also connect that to the past. And these moments really give us interesting and tangible ways of doing that.
It's always great to talk to our friend Brad Hayes, associate professor of political science at Union College. Brad, don't spend too much time with that George Washington hair.
No promises.